welcome once again to Words and Pictures, your one-stop media outlet for comics, animation, and other lowbrow culture. I'm Bill Dodge, and we're here live on the air this morning with a preview of the upcoming Portland Zine Symposium at Portland State University.
And I'm S.W. Conser, and one of our guests this morning is Lonnie Schreibstein, one of the organizers of the Zine Symposium. Also joining us is Tom Lechner, a cartoonist who will be leading a workshop on open source publishing software, and Seth Weber, who will be screening a film about his short, about his small publishing outfit, Alarming Press. But first, I'm hoping that Lonnie can give us some background on the events that will be happening on the second week of weekend of August.
All right. The night before the Zine Symposium, Thursday, August 10th, there is going to be a Zinester potluck at the Independent Publishing Resource Center from 7 to 9, and that will be the people who live in Portland bringing food for the people who are coming in from out of town for the Zine Symposium. On Friday, the tabling runs from 3 to 7, and it is free for people to come in and see what the Zinesters are selling and trading. And on Friday night, there is an open mic reading at PSU from 8 to 10. And then on Saturday, tabling runs from 10 to 5 at the PSU Smith Ballroom again. And there will be workshops from 11 to 4. Again, everything is free, and on Sunday is the same schedule as Saturday. Oh, and Saturday night is the Zinester Prom from starting at 8 p.m. going to midnight at the Owl Parliament, which is 305 Southeast 3rd Avenue, and come dressed up to that.
That's a huge schedule. This is all available on your website, which is pdxzines.com, pdxzines.com.
Yes.
And first thing I guess that some people are asking is, what is a zine? It's well, we have a radio zine right here on KBOO, and that's a collection of interesting messages and stuff from around the community. But what is the kind of zine that will be available at the PSU campus from the 11th to the 13th?
They are usually small booklets with creative writing and sometimes nonfiction writing. They always include images, photos, drawings, and just, you know, a lot of huge variety of topic. Every topic under the sun you'll see there.
It's pretty much any kind of magazine you'll see, just small press, kind of DIY, do-it-yourself kind of culture. And this has been going. This is something that's it's like a 50-year-old technology, and it's still in the digital age. So, so this will be. But it's a huge, huge underground or increasingly overground activity. There will be what self-publishers coming into Portland from all over the country and even from Canada. And so, since this is such a do-it-yourself community, you're going to be looking for people in town to host visitors, maybe arrange some ride shares. Where can people look for that kind of information?
We have it on our website. There's a message board. So go right to pdxzines.com, click on message board or forums, I think it says, and type, you know, look for people offering housing and ask for a ride, and you'll get hooked up.
And one of the activities that's going to be going on is there is going to be a film screening, and that's on, is that Saturday night?
It is Sunday.
Sunday night.
At from 3 to 4:30 at the Fifth Avenue Cinema.
It's Sunday the 13th. And before we talk about that, we want to let you know that we will be taking your phone calls in the studio today. The number is 503-231-8187. If anybody wants to call with questions or suggestions, the number again is 503-231-8187. And let's talk to Seth Weber from Alarming Press. And Seth, tell us about the Sunday film screening at PS at the Fifth Avenue Cinemas. That's on the 13th of August.
Yeah, thanks, Conch. The film screening, and first of all, maybe I'll start out by saying a little bit about Alarming Press. We're a multimedia label publishing comics, music, and film. The film screening will pretty much cover all the film projects we've done up until this point. It's free. It's at the Fifth Avenue Cinema on Sunday from 3 to 4:30. The film program is called Alarming Press Presents Zombie Christ and three other short films. Zombie Christ is the tale of Christ resurrected by, as a zombie and hunted down by the apostles. That one's a must-see cult film. We also have Bags, which is a sports comedy about Hacky Sack. It's kind of like House Party meets the Karate Kid. That's our newest film, and it's hilarious, too. I'd say the whole film program is really all, like, social satire. We had it screened at the Portland Underground Film Festival, and we're really pleased because people laughed the whole time. And then the first two films are The Tapeworm, which is a meditation on writer's block, and Maniac Mansion, which is a music video for Maniac Mansion, the world's first Nintendo punk band.
So these are there's a variety of people. There are people who have made probably 16mm versions of stuff, really nice, slick things. And then there are kids who are going around with their digital video doing doing some crazy short films. So this is a real part of the DIY ethic, the get somebody together from the community and do something creative.
Yeah, I think it's really impressive how these guys have been able to make these movies look, considering how little money we've been able to put into filming them. Jeremy shot The Tapeworm and then re-edited the entire thing a year later just to make it look how he wanted. So you can really do a lot with the digital video.
And these are all artists and zinesters who started out with their self-publishing and then deciding, hey, let's do something different and new in the community.
Yeah, correct. So we publish comics and film now, but when I was 19, I started out working with these guys making zines on typewriters. And it was our first outlet for storytelling, fiction. We wanted to be able to make our stuff look more professional and to be able to tell the stories we wanted. We started making comics, and then we got involved in making film. But the original root of this is just sitting around with your friends, typing zines on a typewriter, and then going down to the pharmacy and making photocopies of them. So that's the starting point.
An Alarming Press will have a table at the Zine Symposium. And right now there's an art show up at a local coffee house, but that's only till the end of the month.
Yeah, that's right. My own project, aside from being the propagandist for every Alarming Press project, is Nixon Comics, which is a tale of all the misdeeds and campaign tricks of the Nixon campaign. That is showing at Equator Coffee on Grand and Morrison for the remainder of the month. Copies of Nixon Comics, the first issue of the comic book, will be available at the Zine Symposium. And for anyone who wants to heckle Richard Nixon, he will also be there to shake hands.
Now, you look like a kid who's too young to even remember Richard Nixon, so this is interesting that you're going into such a historical perspective to do a comic.
I really enjoyed drawing the parallel between those times and our own times. Plus, as someone who mainly deals in political comics and political satire, I find it a lot easier to study these things that happened 30 years ago, still relevant today. When I read the news today, if I were doing my comics about that, I think I'd be angry every day studying that stuff, reading that stuff. Somehow I feel a little more distance studying the Nixon campaign, and I can look at it with that humorous eye that I need.
When you consider it, Seth, Cheney and Rumsfeld worked for Richard Nixon, so they're still in the government now.
Oh, yeah, those guys are the old war horses who are still around. They don't really come up a lot in the Nixon literature because they were just getting their chops back then, but they were just getting their start in the Nixon campaign.
Now, you have a goodie bag for the first person who calls in with a question or a suggestion to the studio line. That's 503-231-8187. What have you got here in the studio you're showing me here?
Yeah, that's right. We'd love to have somebody call up with an interesting question. You will win a copy of our film compilation. This one contains Zombie Christ, The Tapeworm, and Maniac Mansion. It's kind of a 70s triple album, gatefold.
Wow.
Deal that I put together. So all of our books are either printed on demand or handmade, and this is a really nice handmade copy with some color Photoshop art and three DVDs inside.
It's a beautiful piece of work. Well, we're gonna let you know that number again. It's 503-231-8187. And We want to talk to, we want to introduce one more of our guests here. That's Tom Lechner. And Tom is a jack of all trades here. He's a local art renegade, and he's been publishing a long-running comic zine called Consumption.
Yeah, speaking of political cartoons.
Yeah, it's a heady mix of art and politics that's been running for how many issues now?
Oh, this will be number 12. I'll probably the morning the zine symposium starts, I'll be stapling my books for number 12. I've been doing these since 1999.
Wow.
During an unemployment period, I just started making political cartoons to keep myself from being completely depressed and just laying in bed staring at the ceiling.
That's some beautiful work. And Consumption is just one of your many projects. Your art postcards are available at City Bikes and other locations. You've created 24-hour comics, invented a camera mount that allows you to take spherical photographs. I hope you'll be bringing this to the symposium because it's you got to check this beast out. It's beautiful. And you've programmed a comics layout program for Linux, the open-source computer platform. In fact, you'll be leading a workshop on open-source software during the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Zines are kind of a very open medium for communication. And it seems to be open source software is very useful for that. So you don't have to pay $700 for Photoshop or whatever. You can use a lot of open source software. Like the open source software equivalent of Photoshop is the GIMP, which stands for the GNU Image Manipulation Program. So it can do most everything that Photoshop could do. Not quite, but it's like for most purposes, it works just fine. There's also other desktop publishing software you can use called the famous one's called Scribus. My one is called Laidout. It cannot do text yet, but, I mean, who needs text when you can just draw pictures or draw text with your hand and then scan it in and then use it?
And the beauty of open source software means that if somebody wants to add a text feature to your program, they can just take the code and work it in and improve it.
Right. Most proprietary software, it's closed source. You can't get into it. If there's a bug or something, you cannot correct the software, but if you happen to know how to program and you get a hold of some open source software, you can pour through the code and find a bug and possibly fix it. So pretty much that's what I've done with Laidout. I mostly started from scratch, but it's an open source project. Anyone can go through it and pick out bugs or whatever.
And you'll be leading this workshop. What day is it?
I think it was Sunday.
Sunday, and probably you've been working at Free Geek, so you'll probably see some people from Free Geek, which refurbishes old computers and puts them into open source Linux mode and sells them for low prices or gives them to volunteers.
Right, you can volunteer at Free Geek for 24 hours, or you can build five computers and get one for free, or maybe it's six computers. So, yeah, you can go the open source route and hardly spend any money and get all kinds of software for free.
Well, I think we've got our first caller on the line here. The number is 503-231-8187. We're talking about the Portland Zine Symposium. Hello, caller.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, and I think you've won the DVD package. And anyway, what's going on? Are you going to participate in the Zine Symposium in August?
You know, I'd really like to. I just caught the last, part of you guys' conversation. I guess my question was going to be, what your opinion of this Israeli, Hezbollah conflict is, and if you were going to do any kind of work depicting that.
Wow, I think definitely that's Tom's venue, and I've never seen Tom drop a ball when it comes to international politics. And if you want to stop by his table, he's the tall guy with the really beautiful art comics, cartoon comics. Well, so is this something you're going to be covering in time for Consumption 12, Tom, at the symposium?
I don't know. It's almost too new. Like, a lot of the issues in around that area, it's the same things that pop up all the time. Here's missiles and planes against rocks. So I've made a few cartoons about that before, but no one's specific to Lebanon quite yet.
Okay. Because, it's such a mess over there, and there's so many opinions. And, for one, I would have to, support them going in that area, the border, and clearing that out. I mean, you have people that, strap bombs to themselves and walk into crowded restaurants and buses and blow everybody up. How do you deal with something like that? So I totally support the fact that we're sending bombs that are going to just clear out those bunkers and those tunnels. And, the loss of life is tragic, for sure, the innocent loss. But what else can you do if you've got these terrorists just lobbing rockets into your territory, all the time? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, there's definitely been no end of discussion about like all the crazy power struggles going on when it comes to people who are at the Zine Symposium and other DIY places, because this is people who sometimes feel powerless, and I think the creativity of the Zine Symposium is a way to get around that. What do you think, Lonnie?
Yes, zines are a really good outlet for people's thoughts and emotions towards these issues.
And you're going to probably see a lot of political people gathering here, right? Mm-hmm. Like what kind of? Tell us about some of the other specific workshops that look really interesting to you.
Well, we have both how-to workshops where you learn skills such as bookbinding and screen printing and making 3D interactive books. And then there are more, you know, discussion-based workshops such as the healing power of zines and how to research base your zine, how to get your zines into libraries. And
a lot of these are kid-friendly. Like, for instance, I remember last year there were school kids distributing their own zines and chapbooks. And, in fact, one of the cool things was there was one workshop with some teachers who know about self-publishing, and they've said this is a great teaching tool. So this is something where kids can really learn about writing and art and putting stuff together. You know, this is really you've had a lot of people who've started out in the zine community who've gone on to be magazine publishers, for example, and book publishers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there will be workshops that will be available for kids under 14 accompanied by a parent, and those will be marked in the program.
And specifically, I think there's is there something for young folks that's happening on one of the days?
Yes, on Sunday from 1 to 2, there is a kids' bookbinding class.
And Seth, what else is going on that you're particularly interested in this weekend at the symposium? Or not this weekend, but August 11th through 13th.
Well, actually, on the subject of the kids' cartooning and zine publishing, I'm actually doing a children's cartooning workshop this morning with the MLC kids who had their own table at the Zine Symposium last year. So,
oh, wow, this is a Metropolitan Learning Center?
Yeah, that's right. So myself and a couple other folks have run like this DIY summer camp one of the weeks there, and hopefully they will be there this weekend with their zine again.
Very cool. So you're one of the drop-in sort of community teachers?
I drop in and help them do some comics for their zine, yeah. So last year, MLC had a booth selling their zine, and I believe they'll be here this year, too.
You're going to see a lot of really cool, interesting booths.
The Independent Publishing Resource Center has an outreach zine-making program going on this summer. Right now is the teen zine classes, and then throughout the year, you know, we either have students come into the IPRC or we go out into the schools teaching zines.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. The Independent Publishing Resource Center is one of the big one of the big outfits that really helps out. It's definitely a grassroots organization that's affiliated with Reading Frenzy, which is a zine and bookstore downtown, and has been helping out the symposium. So you'll have a few people definitely from the IPRC doing activities at PSU and at their office and studio.
Mm-hmm. The IPRC will have a table at the symposium. And there's also going to be a group zine-making session led by Nicole Georges of the IPRC on Saturday. So anyone that wants to get together and put together a zine on the spot can do that.
So that'll be Saturday the 12th. And I want to play a little something here that is from a previous zine symposium. And this is one of the teachers who explored the culture of advertising by engaging his high school students in a bit of culture jamming.
When we are talking about it, I kind of briefly just say, you know, the difference between a magazine and a zine is one of the things that I say is that You know, whereas a magazine may be influenced by its advertisers or maybe influenced by something else, your zine is just a reflection of your own personal values and opinions and things that you're interested in. What exactly do you guys say about what a zine is?
I go through examples and then by basically saying that they're non-commercial, non-professional, small circulation magazines. And Duncombe, who wrote a book about zines, his estimate that they're read by about 500,000 to 750,000 people, although it's hard to determine because they tend to be passed on from person to person, that they tend to be compiled in informal settings rather than formal settings.
That was from the Zine Symposium a couple of years ago, and we're actually looking for a little cut about recreating advertisements, but that's okay. We'll get back to that later. Wanted to go back to Tom talking about the computer age. You know, we're in the high-speed internet age where everybody's posting their thoughts on Blogspot and MySpace and playing with interactive websites. And competing with that is a 50-year-old technology, zines. We still have the Xeroxed wood pulp things that you hand out to your friends. So is the traditional zine scene still relevant? It seems like it still manages to attract new talent.
I think it's definitely relevant. I mean, staring at a computer screen, you're not going to get the same sort of things that you will if you hold something in your hand. Like, you can do fancy bindings or attach little frogs or whatever to your, I mean, fake frogs, not live frogs.
Make CD sleeves even and
right,
do a whole interactive thing.
Mm-hmm. Not easy to do just digitally.
And, of course, the digital scene can sometimes dovetails. You can advertise your zines online and have people send in for them and do both at once.
I think the Zine Symposium attests to the strength of the print media because it's been growing larger and larger each year. This year we're going to have over 100 different people tabling and sharing their work, and we expect to see about 1,500 people from Portland and around the country coming through during the weekend.
And we want to let people know that we are taking their calls about the Zine Symposium here on KBOO. We are talking about, this is the event that's happening August 11th through 13th at Portland State University, and the number is 503-231-8187. Hello, caller. Whoops, lost that caller. Sorry about that. But we are here with Lonnie. Our guests are Lonnie Schreibstein. She's one of the co-organizers of the Zine Symposium. Tom Lechner, who's one of the workshop guests, and Seth Weber, who's going to be hosting the film program. And Seth, what else is going on that's really interesting this weekend? Just there's a whole culture of different creative types that are going to be converging here.
Well, first of all, I wanted to mention that if you want to watch the trailers to our film program, if you need it all to be any more convinced to come see these awesome movies for free, all the trailers are available on our website, www.alarmingpress.net. Conch, we were talking earlier about different zine libraries and folks who will be collecting materials for their zine libraries. We print on demand, and we're going to be overprinting a few of our books. So come up to our table and trade with us, because we are collecting zines for the Scarolina Mobile Zine Library.
Ah, the Zine Mobile.
Which is a zine mobile out of South Carolina that has up until this point collected about 2,000 or 3,000 zines for their zine mobile, and we're trying to get them up to 10,000 different zines.
Wow.
So they're going to be sending us material to trade. We're going to have some of our own material to trade, so come make a trade with us and help support the Zine Mobile.
And these are folks who've just driven all the way from Carolina to be here.
They were here last year, and we will be supporting them this year since they cannot be here in person.
And one of the things that this is the zine libraries are something that's really taking off lately. A lot of colleges are doing these. I know the IPRC has one, the Independent Publishing Resource Center. They have walls of different zines just put into different categories. And there's the Zap Library in Seattle, if I recall right.
They'll be there.
And so if you're a zinester out there who has several copies, you might want to immortalize yourself by giving one to the Scarolina Zine Mobile and the IPRC and Zap. And Let's see.
The Multnomah County Library is also trying to start a zine library.
They'll be there, too.
And we do have a little cut, I believe, about the benefits of a zine library and workshop. And let's see if we can cue that up there and let people know about that.
First of all, these are really ephemeral documents, and they really document experiences that aren't covered in mainstream publications, and that you get a lot of viewpoints and perspectives that you won't see in the mainstream media, or even in, you know, what's published by small press publishing houses. And they're really original, really interesting documents. I mean, like, everything that's published, there's stuff that's not as good. But I've trained as a historian, and I think that these are really fascinating historical documents, and they're going to be really important to researchers and archivists in the future, and also to people now who are trying to understand and place their own work in historical perspective. Because I think whenever I go through the zines in our collection, I keep on finding connections to stuff that I'm struggling with now or that people of my generation are interested with, and it makes me feel not alone. It makes me understand how certain political struggles have a history and how these communities are all connected to each other, and also how the personal and the political are connected.
So we're talking about zines on Words and Pictures today. We're doing a preview of the Portland Zine Symposium, and we have a caller on the line. The number is 503-231-8187. If you want to call in, find out more about this whole do-it-yourself community event, or if you want to contribute your opinions or suggestions about the event. And caller, hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
So I had a question because I came in late in the show and I'm new to the whole zine world, but it very much sounds on target and wonderfully creative, just how you spell it if I wanted to Google it.
Let's see, that would be Z-I-N-E. It's almost like a short version of magazine.
Okay, great. And then just a quick question. I don't know, I think it was Seth that did some of the cartoons using Nixon to detach from the frustrations of the immediate situation and how it applies. And I wondered, I studied about that Vietnam War and how they said once you get on the tiger's back, which was Vietnam, there's no getting off. And I wondered if there was any animal he could think of impromptu that would be an equivalent for now in getting tied up in the Middle East.
What do you think, Seth?
I'm not sure if I have an impromptu animal for that.
Yeah.
mostly what we've gotten into, instead of like drawing a parallel between Vietnam and the wars in the Middle East, is the campaign tricks and the dirty tricks and the phone tapping and things like that that they got into. So there's the parallels with Bush's wiretapping and not wanting to take it to the secret courts. So Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy are really the protagonists of Nixon comics.
Maybe an octopus, then. What do you think?
An octopus would be interested. Eight arms is certainly useful for the backhanded dealings of the Bush administration.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks.
I'm thinking maybe a genetically modified rat or a whole bunch of genetically modified rats.
Wow, with several heads. So you cut off one, they've still got a few others. Well, we're talking about web searches and websites. Let's talk about some of the sites that people can go to. I know that one that I've heard of is ironfeather.com. And there's, of course, the pdxzines.com, pdxzines.com. And what else is there, Lonnie, that people can check out?
Well, there's the IPRC website, and there are some links to other sites from there, and that's www.iprc.org.
And that's right here in town, downtown, the Independent Publishing Resource Center. And Microcosm Publishing is a local concern, is that right?
Yes. They have a really great selection. So you should go to their website and check out what they've got.
Especially if you like political stuff. There's some good political stuff. There's a lot of really great cartoony stuff. And let's see, what are some of the other – there's fun stuff. Let's talk about some of the fun stuff that will be happening at the symposium. You know, this is people of all ages, kids of all ages. So people want to dance, for example, right?
Yeah. The Zinester prom on Saturday night will be dancing the night away. There'll be an opportunity to take prom photos. And then also on Friday night, there's an open zine reading. And then there'll also be some raffles going on during the weekend to win fabulous prizes donated by the local community. Prizes such as a bag from Queen Bee and books and zines donated.
And there'll be an art show at In Other Words Books?
Yes, that's on Friday night.
With DJs.
Yeah, and there's going to be a bunch of artists showing, and it's also going to be a benefit for New Orleans disaster survivors.
How about, let's see, an open mic on Friday. Now, is that's for people to read from their own work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's a tradition, and it's always really fun.
Usually you have, I mean, there are some people out there that have had 30, 40, even more issues of a zine out, like Comet Bus, for example, this amazing book about traveling all over the world on Greyhound. And Aaron, who does Comet Bus, he's just a legend because he kind of started out as an outlaw. And I remember the first zine symposium was, there was a bit of an outlaw groove to it. It seems like there were there's a workshop, for example, on how to scam free copies and materials, and what was interesting was even though the whole publicity machine kind of flew under the radar, it still attracted a huge capacity crowd. So you know there's been this amazing underground for a long time, and sometimes they just kind of live by their wits. Yeah. Does anybody want to comment on that? I think it's kind of a little dark secret that sometimes there's people using the copy machines at work or just, you know, in the dead of night to kind of put their stuff together.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Yes.
Zinesters are very resourceful.
And but you don't have to do that at the symposium because Scrap is going to be having a room all to itself with materials, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a room set up for those zinesters that may be putting their zines together at the last minute with some supplies for use.
Staplers and tape and all this other stuff. Scrap is a really great outfit that recycles all sorts of materials.
I'm curious if it's digital, like in a blog, would you still consider that a zine if it's not ever seen on paper?
Yeah, like something on Blogspot.
Well, I think if it's on Blogspot, then it's a blog and not a zine. You know, one of the Zine Symposium organizers puts out Drek, and he puts it in both on print and online. So I think that's a really great way for zinesters to go nowadays.
Yeah.
And I think there's oftentimes some crossover nowadays. Like, people can carry around the video iPods, and there's ClickWheel comics. If Tom, you might have seen some of these where there's one panel per click when you move the arrows back and forth. So that's almost like a portable electronic zine.
Yeah, I haven't seen that particular thing. I've seen things like that on the net. I know a lot of times that stuff is licensed with a copyleft instead of a copyright. So it's free to send your stuff, distribute your stuff anywhere you want.
Now, that's kind of interesting, the idea of copyleft. That's kind of a shorthand for an alternative to traditional copywriting, which says you can't reproduce this without my permission under any circumstances. What does copyleft have to offer for the self-publishing community?
Yeah, the copyleft uses the actual copyright legal framework to let people take certain rights of the copyright. And for instance, if you want to distribute things, whoever distributes it has to attribute where they got it from, or the person has to only use it for non-commercial purposes. Or you can also distribute it so people can share it, but they might not be able to make derivatives of your work, like modify it or, you know, scrub some element of the picture out. There's several licenses like that, particularly the Creative Commons licenses, creativecommons.org. They have a whole slew of those.
So if you don't want to be completely strict about your work and you want to distribute it and get it seen and maybe get people to add to it or something like that, you can still have protections and not have it taken over by a major corporation but get it distributed.
Right.
And we have a caller on the line. We're talking about zines here on Words and Pictures, the Zine Symposium coming up on August 11th to 13th. And the number is 503-231-8187. Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Fabulous Material.
Thank you.
Say, now, I'm just thinking, a question I had is, could this be seen fairly as an equivalent to Thomas Paine and our other, many of our other founding fathers who were pamphleteers? And can you see the equivalent, and do you think it could become as revolutionary as it was in those days? Thanks for the, I'll take the answer off the air.
Thank you. Yeah, wow, what a great question.
Yeah.
I know that zines as we know them go back about 50 years, and they were mostly starting out as what were called fanzines, science fiction fans and music fans, when the copier first came out. But right, Thomas Paine was making use of the printing press when that became cheap in the colonies in the 18th century.
Yes, and it seems like zines have always had, not all of them, they've always had at least a little bit of a political bent, especially in more recent times, if you can call 20 years ago recent times. A lot of zines grew out of punk rock and new wave, and there was definitely a feeling for or a yearning for change because it was during the Reagan administration. So, yeah, I would call them pamphleteers. I don't know about the rest of you guys. There is a correlation because well, Sue Coe, one of my favorite artists, modus operandi is if you have information, share it, get it out there. And that's exactly what the revolutionaries are doing at the beginning of this country. So good point, caller.
That's, I think, you know, what most zinesters are going for. They
yeah.
want to get their voices heard and get their message out there.
And a lot of underground comics that started in the 60s and 70s were very, you know, became very political and changed a lot of the culture. Changed, in fact, I think obscenity laws changed a lot of the political landscape. And originally, some of the characters in there were photocopied zines, were self-publishing in the best sense. Tom, you probably have a pretty good sense of the history of zines yourself.
Not as well as I'd like, I suppose. There's always been, like, flyers and things like that through the ages. But
Lonnie?
Oh, I just wanted to mention that on Sunday, August 13th, there will be a workshop from 11 to 12 on the topic bringing zines to the community.
And if you don't have a bookstore that sells zines in your community, well, you know, here in Portland we certainly do. We have the IPRC and even Powell City of Books has a small press section. If you go down to San Francisco, there's City Lights. In Berkeley, there's a couple of places. In Chicago, there's Quimby's and Chicago Comics. So it really is all over the place. And I think, and where else can we look? I mean, certainly we can go on the web and get links to various publishers.
I guess I just wanted to bring up the community aspect of the Zine Symposium. That's really what it's all about. Our theme this year is called Building Bridges. So it's really, the Zine Symposium is really a great place to network and to find there will be a lot of zine distros there to submit your zine to. And it's just really great seeing everybody together in one room.
What's a distro?
It's like a store. Most of them have like online or printed catalogs rather than a physical location. And then some of them, you know, will take your zines and submit them to stores.
And again, there's opportunities for people to host an out-of-town zinester or give a ride to somebody. And you can do that by getting on the website. Now, how's that done again?
It's pdxzines.com, and zines is Z-I-N-E-S, and there is a button on there for the forums, and you can post a message and read the messages that are already there.
So money is always a consideration for people who are self-publishing. Oftentimes, you know, you've either got kids or minimum wage people or people who have got all of their income going to other sources. So some people say, okay, well, unless you've got access to a copier, it costs a lot to produce zines on paper. And on the other hand, you know, it's getting cheaper all the time to access a computer, and posting your work online is virtually free. So there's always going to be trade-offs about doing something online versus doing something on paper. And I'm hoping there'll be some resources this weekend, not this weekend, but the weekend of the 11th to 13th, talking about how to get around some of the limitations. I know that the IPRC has facilities. If you pay an annual fee, you can get access to their printing facilities, and they've got some pretty amazing facilities there.
Yes, there are 4 computer workstations with all the software, and there's a copier, which for members is 4 cents a side. And if you want to come in as not being a member, it's 8 cents a side. And then the IPRC also has letter presses and GoCo printers and other supplies to use.
Yeah, Tom, how are the computer layout programs? And there's one, of course, that you've created that's for open source. How are those changing, you know, the amount of work that goes into making a zine and the amount of money it takes to produce one?
Well, when I started doing consumption, I did it all by hand. And up through issue number 8, I was doing everything by hand. So pasting out, you know, making copies and cutting out the cartoons and pasting them on master sheets. Then I started using a program called Passapart Out. I guess which is actually pronounced Passepartout or something like that. It's some crazy French word. But it simplifies laying out quite a lot. Whereas before it might take me a couple of days to lay out everything. Now it takes about 30 seconds. So it cuts down quite a lot, plus cuts out the cost of photocopies.
And you can move things around without, you know, having to unglue and put stuff together again.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to mention the zine Stolen Sharpie Revolution, which has a lot of good resources in it and will be available through Microcosm Publishing.
And that's still going on. I remember the first issue of that a few years ago, Stolen Sharpie Revolution. What can you tell us about that one?
It's like one issue, but they keep updating it. And, you know, there are a lot of resources for making your own publications.
Any other zines of note that we should point out to listeners that have caught your eye in the last couple years?
Oh, yeah. What are some of your favorites? What should people, you know, what do you recommend people look for?
One of my favorites is Clutch, which is by one of the IPRC staff members, as well as Journal of Ride Theory, which is also by an IPRC staff member, Dan Helens.
That's one of my favorites. That's got this amazingly well-researched sort of groove that's all about, well, amusement parks mostly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And things that can go terribly wrong, or things that people don't know about behind-the-scenes situations. You know, this is, I think, some of the stuff that people post online nowadays and get in trouble for originally was being published in zines. And what are some of your favorites, Tom?
Well, one that kind of, it's kind of computer-related, I guess, called the Dvorak zine, which you can learn how to use the Dvorak keyboard layout, which is more... It's better for your fingers if you do a lot of typing. That particular one is available online, but as a PDF, and it's also you can download it and print it yourself, or you can just buy it off the website by Alec Longstrip et al.
So I think people should show up at PSU from Friday, the 11th of August, through Sunday the 13th, and just really make a round of all the tables. There will be different people each day. And there will be other events going on. There will be other resources. There will be free food. And but, you know, people can also participate. People can bring stuff. People can participate in what kind of activities are you especially pointing up for the weekend?
Well, one thing that's available is we'll have a room available all day Saturday for people who want to kind of put on their own impromptu workshops, we call them. Guerrilla workshops.
So definitely, it's still seat of the pants. There's not everything's tied down. It's like if you have an idea, bring it and discuss it, and it's kind of a collaborative environment, like it always has been.
Definitely.
So there's kind of the give and take between doing stuff your own self creatively and getting input from other people. So this is like a one event a year where people really get to brainstorm with other people in the community.
Is this in the same building as previous years on Portland State University campus?
Yes, it's in the Smith Memorial Ballroom, and all the workshops will be taking place in Kramer Hall, which is a building over, and there's a walkway between the two buildings.
And it's at PSU, but you don't have to be a student.
No, anyone is welcome. Everything is free, except for the prom on Saturday night. We're asking for a donation.
And that's going to be where again?
That's at the Owl Parliament, 305 Southeast 3rd, and it is starting at 8 p.m., and there will be DJs and dancing and fun prom stuff.
And once again, tell us when the kickoff to the whole weekend begins and where?
Thursday night, right before the symposium.
That's the 11th of August?
Yes.
Okay.
No, 10th.
10th, sorry.
10th, Thursday night the 10th at the Independent Publishing Resource Center in downtown Portland.
On Oak Street, I believe?
Yes.
Between 10th and 11th?
Yes.
Or 9th and 10th, sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll be having a potluck for the in-town zinesters to feed the out-of-town zinesters and just to socialize. And also the Zine Symposium organizers and IPRC staff members will be there to chat with.
And any other information? What's the way to get in touch?
Just go to the website, pdxzines.com, and there's emails there.
Okay, pdxzines. And Seth had to go. Seth Weber was the person who is helping put on the film program. It's going to be on Saturday night, I believe, Sunday night.
Sunday from 3 to 4:30 at Fifth Avenue Cinema.
And the symposium itself goes from 11th to 13th. Tom Lechner is here. He's doing a workshop on open source software, and he's a comic zinester. Lonnie Shrivestein, one of the organizers of the Zine Symposium, thank you all for coming in. This has been fantastic.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Words and Pictures this morning on KBOO. Oh, Tom, tell us.
I just wanted to mention, I have a lot of links on my website for software for artists, tomlechner.com.
How do you spell that?
It's T-O-M-L-E-C-H-N-E-R, Lechner, tomlechner.com.
Okay, great. And I'm S.W. Conser.
And I'm Bill Dodge. Thanks, everybody, for coming down.
Yeah, and thanks to all the people who called in, all the people who are listening. Stay tuned for more of the Radio Zine here on KBOO, and enjoy your day.
Roots music lovers, experience the 8th annual Pickathon at Pendarvis Farm on Mount Scott, August 4th and 5th. Current lineup includes Greg Brown, Iris DeMent, the Waylon Jennies, Kelly Joe Phelps, Daryl Anger, the Danny Barnes Collective, the Wilders, C.J. Chenier, the Wood Brothers, Chris Delmhorst, Little Sue, the Earl Brothers, the Avett Brothers, and many, many more. The Pickathon will take place August 4th and 5th at its beautiful new location, Pendarvis Farm, located around Southeast Foster and 172nd in Portland. Featuring two outdoor music venues, one indoor music venue, camping, kids' activities, workshops, hiking, beer gardens, great food and crafts, and more. Sorry, no dogs or outside alcohol allowed. Pickathon benefits your community radio station, and both weekend and day tickets are available at KBOO, Music Millennium, or Pickathon.com. The whole family is welcome at KBOO's 8th Annual Pickathon, August 4th and 5th at Pendarvis Farm. More information and directions are available at Pickathon.com. Support your community radio station and enjoy the finest in roots music. See you there.
There will be a live remote from On Dawes at the Fez Ballroom, Saturday, July 29th.
With Anjali and the Incredible Kid on KBOO 90.7 FM. We'll be celebrating 4 years of throwing Desi parties in Portland, presenting the best UK Bhangra, Asian hip-hop, R&B, and Bollywood.
If you're 21 or over, you can come and join the party at 316 Southwest 11th Avenue. Or listen to KBOO 90.7 FM or online at kboo.fm.
That's Saturday, July 29th from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Yes, it's here. KBOO's 2006 Book and Record Drive, Saturday, August 26th at the Musicians Union Hall. KBOO is now accepting your generous donations of books, comics, LPs, CDs, DVDs, and VHS tapes for this fun family occasion. Please bring them to KBOO Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in downtown Portland. KBOO also needs volunteers to help sort donations, bring them to storage, set up the day before, and, of course, during the event. If interested, please contact Ani Haynes at 503-231-8032 or email volunteer at kboo.org.